Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Oriental Aromatics Limited's Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Oriental Aromatics Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ending 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Dharmendra Bodani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Parag Satoshkar, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Kiranpreet Gill, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Dharmendra Bodani to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Dharmendra.
Thank you so much, Anuj, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is our pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings conference call to discuss the results of the quarter and the financial year ended 31st March 2023. Thank you for joining us today once again. I would like to now request Mr. Girish Khandelwal, our CFO, to give the financial highlights for the quarter and the financial year ended 31st March 2023. Thank you. Girish, over to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dharmil. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome you all for the conference call. I would like to focus on the operating performance of the company. Let me first take you through our consolidated performance for the quarter. The operating revenue for the quarter was rupees 195.3 crore, which was a decrease of approximately 3.7% on a year-on-year basis and 2.1% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Operating EBITDA reported was rupees 9.3 crore, decreased as compared to rupees 14.10 crore in the previous quarter and 22.10 crore in the corresponding quarter. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 4.76% as compared to 7.07% in the previous quarter. Net profit after tax reported was rupees 1.22 crore, decreased as compared to 3.8 crore in the previous quarter and rupees 10.5 crore in the corresponding quarter. While PAT margins were 0.61%, which was a decrease of 130 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Coming to the FY 2023 performance on a consolidated basis, the operating revenue was 849.1 crore, which was a decrease of approximately 2.30% on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was rupees 54.20 crore, decreased as compared to rupees 92.5 crore in the corresponding FY 2022. Operating EBITDA margins stood at 6.38%. Net profit after tax reported was 19.70 crore, decreased as compared to rupees 53.3 crore in the corresponding FY 2022. While PAT margins were 2.32%, which was a decrease of 381 basis points on a year-on-year basis. During the year, manufacturing and operating costs has gone up by rupees 6.82 crore, which is mainly due to increase in the power cost by 5.46 crore. If we look at the finance cost, so the finance cost has increased by rupees 8.98 crore due to the higher utilization of working capital borrowing and increase in interest rates as compared to the previous year. Finance cost also includes the Forex loss of 2.09 crore as against the 0.86 crore in the previous year. Now, come on the cash flow performance. So, the during the year, cash profit stood at Rs. 39.17 crore as compared to 70.31 crore in the previous year. The net operating cash flow was minus 22.30 crore as compared to minus Rs. 0.81 crore in the FY22. The decrease in the operating cash flow is mainly driven by the higher cash investment in the working capital requirement. Net debt equity ratio stood at 0.34 from 0.21 as compared to the previous year FY22. ROCE for the FY23 stood at 5.32% as compared to 12.5% in the year FY22. Thank you. With this, we can now open the floor for the questions and answers session. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, please restrict your questions to two per participant so management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue. For follow-up questions, you may rejoin the queue. We will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. If you can please talk about how is the demand scenario in aroma chemicals and camphor currently, and when do you expect the demand to pick up for these products?
Okay, so Ankit, in terms of I'll talk about the camphor. When it comes to camphor in the local market, primarily the fourth quarter is always a bit of off-season. So, you know, we will have to see how the demand picks up in Q1 and Q2 because that's when the season starts. And I think that's when the efficiencies of the new capacities that have come online will really be tested. So with related to camphor locally, I think this is the situation where we need to wait and watch. When it comes to the terpene chemicals as well as the specialty aroma ingredients, I think demand in India is stable. But if you look at global demand, the global demand is extremely subdued, primarily driven by the factors like overstocking in supply chains all across the world, as well as certain recessionary trends that we are seeing in the European and the American markets. So at least for the next 2 to 3 quarters going forward, I think we feel that the demand will stay a bit soft till we reach some levels of stabilization. Because I don't see a substantial destruction in demand, but I only see a lag that is being created because of the excess stocking in the supply chain.
So the kind of destruction in margins that we have seen in last year, so can that also be attributed to, you know, the dumping from China, or it was largely to do with, you know, demand itself was down?
So I think again the reason for if you look at the three divisions that we have, our fragrance and flavor division seems to be doing extremely well. I mean, we've had close to 50% quarter-on-quarter growth in terms of our production volumes and almost a 30% increase in our sales volume. But when it comes to camphor locally, like I said, that there are a variety of negative factors. The competitive landscape has changed with a lot of new players coming with new capacity and old players increasing capacity, and all of them primarily coming online in Q3 and Q4, which is relatively softer part of the demand in terms of year. So, you know, going forward, we will have to see what happens. But there is a tremendous pressure on the selling price because of this oversupply of camphor in the market. And globally, be it camphor, be it terpene chemicals, or be it specialty aroma ingredients, like I said, that there is a softness in demand. Our customers have, you know, the RFQs that we were allocated for H1, I think they've been kind of honored to the extent of between 60 to 70%. And the balance have either been postponed or they've been cancelled. So I think that kind of puts a pressure because we have a lot of inventory buildup, which is relatively high cost.
Yeah.
And I think if you put all these factors together, there seems to be a kind of a mixture of a lot of negative factors, which are putting pressure on the demand, which are putting pressure on the sale price, and that is impacting profitability as well as top line.
Sure. My last question was on the capex. You know, the capex. You know, all the three, the brownfield as well as the greenfield capex. You have written in the presentation that they'll get completed by end of FY24. So, you know, post all the capex being completed, and you know, the kind of all-in realization that we have seen in Aroma Chemicals and Camphor, what kind of top line can we expect? At optimal capacity utilization, whenever we reach it, let's say in 2-3 years, what kind of revenue can we generate with all the capacities put together?
So, Ankit, we have always maintained that whatever capex we invest.
Parag, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think this question has been covered in previous calls. So, if Anush can intervene, maybe they can be provided the transcripts. I think we've already given an answer to this.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So my first question, Parag, is that you know, we are seeing very subdued demand in the aroma chemicals, but we have a very large product basket. So are we experiencing this kind of a slowdown across all products? You know, and if so, is it only the inventory part which is playing the role, or even the supply side from China has come back strongly, and that is what is hurting us? Can you throw some light on that?
So, Parag, I'll take the first part of the question, and you can take the second part.
Sure.
On the first part of the question, yes, we have a large range of specialty chemicals and generic bulk aroma chemicals. A fragrance or a flavor, like we may not have explained in the past, is a recipe or a formulation. So formulations and recipes use they use all the ingredients that we manufacture. So the slowdown, if it comes, it comes across the board. So it's not chemical specific. If the demand of fragrances does slow down, the use of aroma chemicals, both bulk and generic, do slow down. And therefore, the impact is felt across the board. Parag, you can take the second part.
Yeah, so I think Dharmil has rightly answered that, you know, when you look at a fragrance gets created with all these materials, which are the generic specialties as well as the bulk commodities. And definitely, I think the Chinese capacity coming online and the Chinese manufacturers being active after a while plays a role in terms of the ability of the customer to negotiate a little more harder than what they were doing in the past 2 years. So yes, it makes an impact. Having said that, I think our product development philosophy has always factored the Chinese being very active in a very steady state of market, and we still able to compete and sell after. So I think when the demand comes back, we are sure we will be able to
Sorry to interrupt, but the line for you was a little bad in between. If you could please use the handset or repeat the last line, sir.
Sure. Is it okay now?
Yes, this is much better, sir.
Oh, okay. So I'm saying that when it comes to the Chinese, I think in a steady state of business, our product development philosophy and our product development plan has factored the presence of Chinese competitors, and we'll still be able to coexist.
Okay. Second question is, you know, I think for FY23, we had guided for around 8%, 8 to 9% kind of a margin, but we ended Q4 with much lower margin. So going forward, given that the demand environment is challenging, do we expect to have 8-9% margin or lower or higher guidance of that?
So I think, Dhwanil, to be very honest, in the 25 odd years that I have been in this space, I think we find ourselves in a very unique position where everything is down, where the raw material prices are down, where the demand is down, where the forecasts are down, and the cost of borrowing money is up. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure for releasing, you know, generating cash by reducing inventories. So I think it will probably be very challenging to really give you a very definitive answer. I'm sure we are taking all the steps that are possible internally to ensure that we stay at the maximum profitable level, even in these current situations. And when situation stabilizes, which I'm sure it will over the next few quarters, and when it does, we will be in a position to kind of get at some at better margins.
Okay. One more question, can I ask?
Sorry to interrupt. Okay. We request you to please rejoin the queue. Yes, thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes,
Rajat.
Okay, thanks. So with regards to camphor, you mentioned that there is oversupply that happened. So is it possible to quantify at the industry level what is this oversupply? How much is this oversupply?
So it's a bit challenging in terms of quantifying the exact camphor supply and demand. Because you know, a lot of the new capacities that have added up are not publishing their capacities in the public domain. Having said that, you know, if you look at camphor as a product, you know, it's not something which is having a phenomenal CAGR growth. So you know, we will need to see at the end of this season as to what are these capacities that have come up. Are really eligible and capable of supplying to the market, and the prices at which it is being supplied today, which according to us is completely unsustainable and is probably kind of not feasible. So, you know, how long can these unsustainable prices be maintained? So, you know, I think it's something which we will probably be in a much better position to evaluate and answer 2-3 quarters down the line.
Sure. So is this something that you would say that happens every few years? I mean, every few years, industry players come up with huge supply because last few quarters were very rewarding. Is this how it is in camphor industry?
So, Rajat, I mean, what I feel is I think camphor probably had a good run for the past 3 to 4 years. And, you know, starting with 2018 when the raw material prices shot up and all the camphor manufacturers in India found themselves in a very sweet spot where we had a lot of low-cost inventory and we were able to pass the price increases to the customers, who eventually then led to the street price of camphor on the street increasing. So I think, and post that, I think camphor was looked upon as a remedy for COVID. So I think the industry had a good run for 3 to 4 years. And I think the money or the cash that was accumulated, according to our estimates, has gotten invested in building brand new capacity of camphor without really having a look at whether it's sustainable or not from a CAGR perspective. So I think that's the reason why this is a little different than what it has been in the past. And I think this combined with a global situation where, you know, the requirement for pinene is historically down because the aroma ingredients requirement has also come down. So I think there are a lot of factors which are kind of favorable for a price reduction, which have happened altogether. Having said that, I think the current prices that are being offered are absolutely unsustainable because although there is reduction in the price of alpha pinene, But what has been currently offered in the market is the alpha-binin that probably will be reaching our plants not before September.
Sure, understood. And like you mentioned, you're saying...
Sir, sorry to interrupt. We would request you to please rejoin the question queue if you have further questions.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ajit.
The next question is from the line of Kiran Chedda from Chedda Investment Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Kiran.
First of all, I was a little surprised that there were no opening comments from Mr. Dharmil this time around. Nevertheless, sir, I just saw the inventories. The inventories have shot up substantially, almost by 30% from the previous year, last March to this March.
Mm-hmm.
So, what exactly is the breakup, raw material, working process, and finished goods, please?
Yeah, so I think across the board, be it the raw materials, be it the semi-finished goods, as well as the finished goods, I think we have seen a ramp up in the inventories. Because normally, you know, if you want to run these gigantic plants, you kind of go with a 3 or a 4 month inventory procurement plan. And hence, I think a lot of your raw materials for 4 to 5 months are either they have reached your plant or they are in the ship or they are at the supplier's site ready to be dispatched. So you know, any course correction in inventory probably will come with a lag of 4 to 5 months. And all our inventory procurement happened in October and November 2022 when we received our RFQs for H1 2023. Now, the inventory pile-up has primarily happened because of a lot of our global customers postponing their procurements or postponing their allocation which they have given to us, which has resulted in the inventory piling up, which was planned for them. And apart from that, because of the slowdown in Europe and America, because of the pile-up of inventory that they're in, we are seeing that the spot procurement also has kind of diminished substantially in the quarter that has gone. So all these factors put together, the outcome is that we have ended up with higher inventories. And I think that kind of is very common currently across the board in our industry.
It's almost 5.5 months of annual turnover. That's really substantial. And when do you think the situation could become more like normal?
So I think, you know, when it comes to the, like I said, that when it comes to the camphor and terpene chemical space, you know, we probably will have to kind of wait out at least for the next 2 to 3 quarters before we come to know what is exactly going to be a picture. And I think from the feedback that we are getting on our customers and the kind of quantities that we are receiving for the H2 RFQs, we feel that we are another 2 to 3 quarters away from some level of stabilization in the aroma, specialty aroma ingredient space as well. Whereas I think on the fragrance side, we are seeing a much different story where there's very strong demand, especially in the markets that we operate, and there's good support for our products.
I think, Parag, I'd like to intervene here. I think more than strong demand, I want to rephrase that. I think the wins that Oriental Aromatics is getting in the fragrance and flavor area is a lot more. And if you go back to our earlier calls, we would have mentioned to you that we are participating in a lot more projects. And this is actually the reason why the fragrance division is growing. I'm not sure whether the industry overall is growing. I think there's a lot of musical chairs in the business, which is changing from A to B. So our gain in volume and value in the fragrance and flavor division does not necessarily mean that the industry is growing.
All right. Any guidance for the current year, Mr. Dharmil, please?
In guidance, what guidance?
In terms of turnover and the financials.
I don't want to at this point give a guidance because as Parag has mentioned, you know, we are seeing a unusual drop in prices of raw materials on the chemical side, and The guidance I would like to give you is that it is going to be a challenging next two or three quarters till we see a stabilization.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Karpe from Shriram Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity. My question pertains to the camphor industry. So, we talked about the oversupply which is there. So, when do we expect these new capacities to be fully absorbed?
To be very honest, I think these capacities probably have kind of surfaced in the last 6 months or so. So we will have to first look at their quality and a lot of the other aspects going forward. I think the kind of numbers that are floating around, because we do not have the exact numbers of the others, we know what we produce. I think there's a significant overcapacity which will take a while to be absorbed if all of them come online and all of them have to be sold in the market.
Any number that you can put to it, like 1 year, 2 years?
Oh, I'm not so sure. So that's the reason why, I mean, I'm sure about my capacity, but I'm not very sure about the capacities of the others, because those are numbers which are flying in the air. So, you know, I do not want to make any judgments based on the numbers that I don't have. But assuming that those numbers are true, it's much longer than 1 or 2 years.
Okay, great. And the second question is, we supply camphor as a solvent to our end, to our client. So, just wanted to understand the percentage of camphor that goes into the end products like your paints, adhesives, toothpaste, in terms of volume and value, or of estimate, if possible.
So Vijay, primarily, I think the camphor application, the biggest application, at least in India, is in the religious and the praying space. So where it is used directly in the form of a formulated product like a tablet or a slab. I think the other two applications are in pain management, which is where it is used in certain medicinal products or OTC products. Where it depends on the formulation, and I'm not privy to that information. And the third application is primarily in cold and flu management, where it is used as part of inhalers. I think in terms of the composition that goes there, I'm not very privy to that information. But these are primarily the three applications where camphor is used.
And what about pain?
It's, to the best of my knowledge, it is not used in paints.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Again, delving a little bit on camphor, just wanted to have an understanding in terms of the growth avenues incrementally from different segments, so including the devotional segment and the traditional, as well as the three segments that you talked about. What is the kind of domestic growth rate or global growth rate we are talking about? And an allied question to that, I understand the alpha-pinene, beta-pinene availability is relatively scarce. So what has changed in terms of availability of the raw material dynamics from a particular geography because of which those newer capacities have come in? Thank you.
Yeah, so primarily to answer your question, you know, because there are no formal studies that are done for the increase in the CAGR growth for camphor in the devotional space, again, based on the hearsay that we hear from a certain smaller consumer insight study, it's at a low single digit CAGR growth. So it's not a product where there's a substantial growth rate. Having said that, I think there's a healthy double digit CAGR growth in the pain management and the flu management space, primarily driven by the ability of the world getting either old or getting more, trying to become more fit by doing more exercise. So more prone to kind of having bruises or, you know, kind of pain in the joints. So, you know, these are the kind of broadly the numbers that we have when we are doing our internal calculations. I think when it comes to the alpha-binin availability, you know, it's a very unique commodity where you have a lot of pine trees in the world. And, you know, they get tapped based on the demand and the supply. And primarily from a demand perspective, alpha-pinene gets used primarily in aroma ingredients or in camphor and certain terpene chemicals. And the supply side is normally depending on what is the demand. And since the offtake in, like I mentioned earlier, in aroma ingredients as well as camphor, as well as terpene chemicals is showing a substantial drop. Although the commodity can be considered as scarce when the price goes up, I mean, right now the commodity is available in abundance, and so the prices have crashed. It's more like oil, you know. To give you a very loose comparison, you know, it's a commodity which is a natural commodity. It can be taken out depending on the demand, and that the price of taking out. Is fixed. So if the demand is there, then it will be taken. Otherwise, the pine trees are not tapped.
Right. That's good to know. And my second question is in terms of camphor pricing. Say just a perspective from maybe past decade or 15 years, how the prices have moved up in terms of the peak prices, trough prices, and more stable prices. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think the camphor industry per se, if you look at pre-2021, was a pretty balanced industry where there was no substantial capacity addition and there was no substantial capacity deletion. I think one major change that happened was till around 2018, you had around 4,000-3,000 tons of camphor which used to be imported from China. That when the capacities in India increased by just process re-engineering or smaller expansions, I think the Indian manufacturers were able to gobble up that particular, and so the Chinese imports stopped. But apart from that, I think it was a pretty stable pricing, and the main factor for the price increase or drop was the global alpha-pinene prices, which were not driven by camphor, but which were driven by some other factors like the gum rosin prices globally or the demand of alpha-pinene in the aroma ingredients. So if you look at the last 10 to 15 years situation, camphor prices always used to stay stable when the pinene prices were stable. And there was rarely a situation where there was extreme oversupply in the market. I think that's changed post-2021 when people have really gone ahead and built these capacities. And so the situation is a little different than what it has ever been in the last 10, 15 years.
Right. Thanks a lot for answering the questions and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow. Just wanted to check on the capex. You know, how much capex is still left in Baroda, Bareilly and Mahad, and how are we planning to, you know, fund that?
So, Girish, correct me if I'm wrong.
Girish can take that question.
Correct.
Girish?
Yes.
In Baroda, our balance capex is around, say, 100 crore. And for that, we are going to take the debt of around 70-75 crores. And for Mahad, our expected project cost is around 90-100 crores. And for that also, we are going to take the debt of 75% of the total project cost.
Yeah. Okay. So in Bareilly, which is left there?
Yeah, Bareilly is a very small amount. So 6-7 crore capex is remained.
Okay,
so altogether we are going to take 70-75% debt.
Okay. So almost 200, 205 crore kind of capex we are planning to do in FY24. I think the as you have mentioned in the presentation, that the entire capex will come in this year only, FY24.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, Parag, given or even Dhanil, you know, given the kind of you know subdued demand that we are seeing currently, you know, how do you think you know that can impact the offtake for our capex? You know, when we complete it by end of next year, by end of FY24.
So, I think, like I said, that you know, in terms of the sustainability of these materials going forward, because there we do not see a substantial destruction in demand by the virtue that none of us have actually stopped taking a bath. Or none of us has actually stopped using a detergent in a washing machine, except some legislations which we are hearing, which are coming in America, where to prevent drought, they are reducing the detergent cycles. So it might have an impact on the detergent, because of which it might have an impact on the fragrance. But apart from that, I don't see a very substantial and a permanent destruction in demand. I think what we are seeing is kind of a recalibration, because the industry is very raw material dependent for performance. And so when there were supply chain hiccups in 2021 and 2020, the industry went ahead and overbought. And then that was followed by a recessionary trend in the major consumer markets. And so the industry will need 2 to 3 quarters of stabilization. I think we probably would be ready with our plants by then.
Sure.
And hopefully with no further shocks happening, we should see a steady demand situation, which is what we have forecasted when we did our financial and production planning for the new plants.
Sure. Thank you. I'll come back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I understand that we're still in the VUCA world, and there are quite a lot of negatives which are there in the market. But what I wanted to understand was the strategy that we will be going forward with the upcoming year, whether this will be a volume-based or will it be a profitable volume-based?
Can you ask the question again? I mean, if I have understood your question correctly, you are saying that as a company, will our focus be on volumes or
volume
will our focus be
value.
On profitable volumes?
Correct, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, yeah, as an internal philosophy, Oriental Aromatics always believes in the philosophy of profitable growth.
Mm-hmm.
So we will continue and strive to ensure that by whatever means possible in terms of efficient raw material procurement, reduction in our conversion costs or process reengineering, we will try to ensure that we continue to stay as profitable as possible in the context of the market and continue to sell.
And we will be at par with FY22-23 kind of a revenue. Is it fair to assume that, or do we see a slight decline in that?
So I think, like Dharmil has also mentioned, that it's like too much of looking into a crystal ball, because we are seeing a substantial attack on our sales price, which will impact the top line. And the slowness will impact our volumes. And you know, although there is reduction in the raw material costs, but because of the excess supply, if the selling price starts reducing even further, we might have. So I think putting all these together, we probably will be in a more clear position to answer that 2 to 3 quarters. Having said that, I think one thing is for sure, that it's going to be a tough year, and we have to be resilient and we have to be watchful, and we are taking all the precautionary steps that are needed.
Okay. My second question is related to the declining ratios and the ROEs and ROCE, and we currently are in the trough phase. So by when do you think that, you know, we start inching towards the recovery mode, or maybe towards the expansion, maybe in like 6 quarters or maybe 8 quarters, so that the trajectory start moving towards the north then?
I mean, to answer your question, I probably will divide it into two parts. I'll probably divide it into the first phase, which will be the next 3 to 4 quarters, where we'll probably know directionally where is our fragrance division, our specialty aroma ingredients and camphor and perfume chemicals division heading. And I think because in those 3 to 4 quarters, we'll also have substantial new product lines as well as capacities added up. And I think once we are at that phase, then we'll be in a position to look at the next 4 quarters and see if there's a stable business environment. Then we should be in a position to kind of achieve the stable EBITDA that we've always been talking about.
If I'm allowed to ask one last question.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I'll fall back in the queue. Yes. Yeah, I'll do that. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So first question, you know, the two divisions that they are that are currently struggling, so like camphor and specialty. So are we breaking even on operating level at least, or we are making loss there?
So I think if you look at the specialty aroma ingredients division, we are in fact breaking even on both the sites as well. But I think there's a lot of pressure in terms of margins, more on the camphor and the terpene chemical space for now. Then probably it is on the specialty aroma ingredients space, but we are kind of breaking even as of now.
Okay. And when you are saying breaking even, it is at EBITDA level or gross margin level?
Girish, do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, at the EBITDA.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So now second question is, I think, Dharmil bhai, and last calls also we discussed, you know, that seems that slowdown that we are into might also have some structural aspect, given that increased competition. What are, say, some of the strategic initiatives, the big things that we are trying to do, say, at a company level to, say, navigate through these things? Because right now it seems as if, you know, we are waiting for things to happen. And I understand that this is a complex scenario, but like, say, some of the peers, when I see they have either gotten into long-term contracts, or some are, you know, trying to, talking about, you know, long-term RFPs with some major customers. So just wanted to explore, what are we, say, exploring to really see if, in case this becomes a structural, do we have, say, some bigger ideas or bigger plan to navigate this? Because what I see, and I've been an investor in this company since Camphor days, Camphor Allied days, so that our free cash flow sooner or later starts, it's very volatile. In fact, last 3 years it has been negative. And so any ideas or, you know, thoughts that you can share with our with us investors, just to get a sense of comfort, to get some comfort of things that we are doing to, you know, address some of these concerns, maybe even it's say for the near or the long term, beyond of course just outlining CapEx plans and all those things.
So I think to probably answer your question, Saket bhai, I think we are looking at these challenges as a very big opportunity for our fragrance and flavor division. Dharmil has just said that, you know, the team there has done extremely well, and we have kind of managed some very interesting strategic wins in that segment. And these wins are with extremely large FMCG companies in India and abroad. So I think that is something where we are kind of, in fact, looking at this challenge as an opportunity, and also the ability of being probably the very few companies in the world who are backward integrated, using all our strengths of the ingredients division to get more and more wins in the fragrance business is something which is a very, very important strategic move, which was for many years in play, in building, and now it's in play. I think apart from that, you know, about the RFQs, I think when the customers have kind of picked up only 60 to 65% of their committed allocations to really go and ask them for longer allocations, probably it's something which is, at least in the current situation, is not going to happen. When the stabilization comes, we will definitely try to use that. But till the time that the external factors are looking a little challenging on the ingredient side, however, they are very, very positive on the fragrance side. On the ingredient side, we are looking a lot of things that we can do structurally internally. So we, as management, are spending a lot of time internally in our plants. We are looking at our processes. We are looking at our costs. We are looking at productivity at each level. And that's how we are trying to differentiate ourselves, because as we say that there's no destruction in demand. So when the demand comes back, we want to be a very leaner, meaner machine to go and fight in the market. So these are the two strategic moves. You know, we are not very keen on the external side.
And Parag, I would like to add is that, you know, these long-term contracts which you are referring to, I don't think in a buyer's market today, there are many companies that are getting into these long-term contracts. And what we are looking at is continuing to stay non-aligned so that we can offer our products, both bulk and specialty, across the industry.
Correct.
So it doesn't really help us to take a new plant where we are making a product and selling it out to just one customer and, you know, having them do a cost plus or taking majority of the margin. So to answer you, we will continue to stay non-aligned. We will continue to focus on our strategy of both bulk and specialty aroma chemicals. We have a large expansion going to be going online, I believe 23-24. Financial year, we would have completed all our expansions except for our CST expansion, unless we are able to even finish that in this financial year. So I think there's going to be an addition of many more products in our repertoire to offer to the industry. And the long-term contracts, I don't believe exist beyond the current RFQs, unless you're in a complete buyback situation, which we don't want to do.
Got it. You just one small request, you know, it would be great, you know, keep the around sequence of, you know, having a Dharmil Bhai, you know, give an opening remark. It gives a lot of confidence to the investors. No,
I've made a note of the comment, and I will do it next quarter and the following quarters too.
Thanks. Appreciate the support and best of luck. I'm sure we'll navigate these tough times.
Right. And our idea primarily for not giving the opening remark was to give more time to the question.
Exactly. Q&A.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, but just couple of you know, opening remarks, you know, they make sense. You know, just a couple of lines you are able to articulate, you know, some of the big ideas. So that helps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well noted. And we will take care of it in the future.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. One clarification on Mahad Capex. So you are saying 100 crore is left. So how much is already done?
So 100 crores is going to be the planned investment in the whole Mahad project, because it's a greenfield project, we'll also have to do some support structure. Yeah, Girish, sorry.
Yes. I just wanted to add, actually, we have already infused 32 crore into the Mahad subsidiary. And as on March, we have already invested, whether you say the pre-operative cost or some revenue cost, as well as the land cost and land development cost, total altogether is 25-26 crore we have already invested.
Okay, actually, the context is, I think, sometime in the previous call, mentioned that Mahad will probably take 200 to 250 crores. So right now, we are going to spend this much, and then probably later on, we'll spend more money. Is that how it is?
Yeah, Rajat, primarily, it's a phased investment where, you know, like Dharmil said, that we are still in the process of piloting the whole CST piece. And, you know, once we are ready with that, we will probably be doing the next phase of investment.
Understood. And so we can say that peak debt, I mean, at the end of this year, probably our debt levels will probably be 400 to 450 crores.
Girish, you want to kind of...
We are expecting around 370-380 crores.
Okay, understood. And how long will it take once all the capex is done? how much time does it take for plant stabilization and to be sure that we are in the mass production?
So since, Rajat, we are in the generic specialty aroma ingredient space, in fact, I think we already kind of had some initial chats with our customers and they are very keen. So, you know, we normally give ourselves, between, say, 3 months to 6 months for validation, followed by another 3 months for getting the sample approvals. So, we should be looking at least capturing 40 to 50% of the available market in the first two and a half years.
Sure. And do you fear a scenario wherein, because current demand is anyways low and CapEx is going to come in a year when the demand is low or there is pricing pressure, do you imagine a scenario that next 1 year when our plant is ready to fire, but we may not have enough demand?
So I think these are generic materials. I think having a fragrance division as the front end of the group always helps because we know which are the kind of fragrances in which it is used. We already have built solid relationships with most of the top consumers of these materials globally. So, demand or no demand, there will be consumption of this material, A. So as a strategic de-risking and China plus one, it still stays in play, albeit at a more challenging sale price. I'm sure we will be well accepted globally in terms of the product sale at least. And as the demand becomes more and more stable, because our simulations have been done at various cost price from very good to adverse situation.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dharmil Bodani from Oriental Aromatics Limited for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we've been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any questions or would like to know more about the company, we would be happy to address the same. We are thankful to all our investors who continue to stand by us and also have shown confidence in the company's future growth plans. And with this, I wish everyone a great evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Oriental Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you.